You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. The National Women's Business Council is a nonpartisan federal advisory committee established to serve as an independent source of advice and policy recommendations to the administrator of the SBA, Congress, and the president regarding economic issues that are important to female business owners. The council is made up of 15 members from all around the country. Jessica Flynn, founder and CEO of Red Sky, a strategic communications firm based in Boise, is a newly minted member of this council, and she is joining me live in studio to talk more about this new appointment. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gemma.
So after a career in broadcast journalism, you founded Red Sky in 2008. Now, it was a startup at the time. You are now the largest strategic communication company in the state of Idaho.
Yeah, it's radio, so people can't see my facial expression for that. But I appreciate that you started there because I was an entrepreneur by accident and by necessity. My job at the time disappeared, and the other folks that I was working with, we say, hey, there's an opportunity in this mm-hmm. market. Why don't we go after it? But to your point, I had a journalism degree. I didn't have business background, and starting and growing that business and the lessons learned along the way mm-hmm. have been really fascinating to look at. And I feel that I am more a business owner and somebody trying to figure out the puzzle of business than necessarily always just practicing the craft that my business is about.
And let's be clear, too. You started this in 2008. We were going into a recession.
Exactly. If I had probably had a little bit more insight into the economy, it might have given me a little bit of pause. But I will have to say that one thing about folks in Idaho is we're gritty and we don't take the easy route. And in mm-hmm. that particular case, I think starting a business when times were tough and times were lean really helped us establish a great framework for how we operate and how we think about other people's businesses and their budgets and their revenue. Mm-hmm. So it's a blessing in disguise.
And what's it been like to be not just a business owner, but to be a female business owner? And is there really a difference?
I love that question because it's been something that I've been thinking about a lot, especially with the appointment to this council, that I didn't start out thinking I should be labeled as a woman CEO or a woman business owner. I wanted to be known as a great business owner and a great CEO, regardless of gender. But over the past couple of years, as you look at the data and you look at the information out there, there is a difference in the numbers of how women's businesses are funded and founded and the opportunities available to them and how they're able to scale. And that is something that I was looking at and saying, what is happening here? What is behind that? What's the why behind it? Mm-hmm. And if I get involved, can I help raise awareness of different issues, opportunities and challenges that women businesses face and what we can do about it? Because we all should have the opportunity to participate in the economy and grow the economy.
So let's talk about this appointment then. So it's the National Women's Business Council, as I said, 15 members, mm-hmm. and you basically get approached by Senator Risch.
Yeah, Senator Risch's office, and Senator Risch has been on the Senate Small Business Committee. He was previously the chair. The chair now is Senator Rubio, but when he was chair, there would be multiple events in Idaho with the SBA and focused on small businesses. And he and his staff would reach out, and I got connected with supporting them with identifying small businesses for them to talk with. Mm-hmm. And then also do a lot of work in economic development with rural economic and regional economic development groups in Idaho and also the Department of Commerce. So I think through those relationships and passion of ours, they said, would you be willing to be to apply for this position if we were to nominate you?
And so you apply, you get the position. You were just in New York for basically what? Your kind of first deep dive with the council.
First deep dive. That's why I have all my notes
right
in front of me. There's a lot. I'm drinking from the fire hose at the moment. And eight of the council members are business owners and founders from across the country. So everyone from professional services agencies like ours to medical technology companies to a juice company out of Florida. And then we have representatives from the other women's business organizations like National Association of Women Business Owners. Mm-hmm. So it's a really fascinating group, and getting to be in the room and discuss the issues that we experience and see, but also trying to look at the data we're being given and figure out what's behind it and what kinds of policies do we want to push for and recommend.
I'm speaking with founder and CEO of Red Sky, Jessica Flynn, about her recent appointment to the National Women Business Council. And when you're appointed and you are in the room, as you said, with these other women, what is that like, especially, you know, coming from a rural state like Idaho?
Yeah. One of the humorous stories was that the other member from a rural community is from Iowa. So like I need to send her one of those shirts where Idaho and Iowa are conflated a little bit. It's interesting. You would think, oh, it's going to be so completely different, this person from D.C. or this woman from L.A. or this other individual from Miami. But there are some connection points that we all have related to the passion that we put into our business and really wanting to elevate and showcase women in business leadership and what we do to help our companies succeed, that there was the common ground. I am definitely trying to get my hands around what it means to be on a federal advisory committee.
Right.
You know, that's a little bit different than the world I operate in. And there are a lot of acronyms.
Those acronyms, they'll get you every time.
Yeah. And I would say at first I was laughing about them. But then when I look at what kept me from actually tapping into the resources that I'm now learning about, I think it was almost that barrier of those acronyms and what I perceived as red tape of, okay, yes, there are federal programs that I could utilize to scale my business, but I want it easy and accessible. And how do I onboard and learn about that? So all of us are taking our personal experiences, whether we use these services or not, and trying to say, how can we help the women that are looking at starting a business or growing to either follow in the path that we're on or to take a different path so they can scale more quickly and more successfully?
One of the things that I found interesting when I was doing some research is that the NWBC, an acronym, is committed to analyzing research and data on issues that are important to women business owners. It is critical to use research and data, not just antidotes. So is that part of when you go, I mean, you're Congress, the president, and this is a nonpartisan group, going and using that research and that data?
Yeah. It is critical to have that base of information that you can point to and also point to where it came from and how it was gathered. And then I do feel that the individual personal stories from some of the communities that we're representing will help put the kind of the flesh on the bones to that data to give some of the why and the reasoning behind it. This fall, they've asked that I host a roundtable in Idaho focused on rural women's entrepreneurship. And that is, okay, we have this report that talks about broadband access, that talks about poverty and women's access to capital and investment. Now let's talk to women in the communities where we're trying to focus and find out, does this resonate? Is this your experience? And if it is, why is that your experience? One of the data points in here that I thought was really interesting was that 75% of rural women entrepreneurs are married, compared to the number of 55% for the rest of the regions.
Oh, interesting.
Which when I looked at it, I said, why is that? One of the things that I've been wondering about is that because as entrepreneurs, you need your tribe, your support network, and perhaps in urban and metropolitan areas, we have that through networking groups and affinity groups and all these types of nonprofits. But in rural communities, if you don't have that, your family is that support network. So trying to understand what those things are and how we can advocate and support policies that can address things.
You know, and anecdotally, that kind of reminds me, and I've had her on the program a couple of times, is Cheeky's founder, Jessie Roberts.
Yes.
Because she started her business out of complete necessity to be able to feed her family.
Exactly.
And I wonder if that is part of the rural landscape as well.
Yeah. Some of the data in the report also looks at the number of female entrepreneurs with children and what they're earning, what their earnings are with children compared to those without. And some of the rural components, I think, are fascinating. I'd written down when I was going through it, are people entrepreneurs by necessity or by opportunity or by curiosity? And I think what we're seeing, to your point, is in some rural areas, a lot of it's necessity. So how can we help these women scale it just like the Cheeky's founder did, how she scaled her business from a one-woman operation. And now there's a multiplier effect because of how many people she's employing and impacting.
And so when we bring it down to Idaho then, and we talk about these rural communities, and you told me, you know, before we came on mic that when you were asked about this, they said, well, we want that rural voice. You're like, well, wait, I'm from an urban area, but we have to look at Idaho as a whole.
Right. There's different definitions of rurality, which is such a tough word for me to say. And one of them is, yes, you may have metropolitan areas within your state, but overall, per the percentages in population, you are more rural. And that is definitely the case for Idaho. We also have an isolation of our population centers. There's large swaths between them all. And I think when we're looking at Idaho, that connectivity, whether it's physical connectivity or connectivity to resources via broadband and digital access, is some of the things that we're thinking we may be able to look at and figure out what are ways that we can overcome those challenges.
And I have to say, you are, I think, incredibly good on social media. And one of the things you did this morning was give a shout out to what female business owners do you know or are you aware of in Idaho? And it was shocking in a very cool way how many female business owners people could just rattle off the top of their heads.
I loved it. I'm a huge believer that you have to be vocal and visible because you can't be what you can't see. And I think the more that we recognize and talk about the female business owners, everything from professional services companies like ours to healthcare companies to tech companies, women leading tech organizations, that's going to help other people that are thinking of it say, they've done it. I can go in that path. How did they do it? What are the resources that I need to be a business owner myself?
And talking about it, as you said, because if we all stay in our own little silos and we don't reach out to each other, whether you're no matter gender, you don't know if you can do it. And you also may not know the hurdles, but the benefit as well.
Exactly. This community, Idaho in general, I say is 2 degrees of access versus 6 degrees of separation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's almost some of the secret sauce of rural states and communities that we want to connect and listen and help each other. And I think that will be really interesting. I'm blessed to be in this position to be able to say, tell me about those businesses. Now, how can I help either connect them or raise their profile through the work that I'm getting to do?
And what are, I mean, as you said, you're drinking from the fire hose, so there's a lot to take in. But what are you hoping to bring to the table ultimately from the Idaho perspective, from this Western perspective?
From the Western perspective, I'd like to bring our experiences related to the three areas that the council's focusing on. And so we have a 3-year term, and it's been identified that we're going to focus on access to capital and opportunity. So the numbers there are really, I say, infuriating, that in 2018, only 2.2% of venture capital money went to female firms, female founded
2%.
Companies. 2.2%.
Oh, can't forget the 0.2.
Yeah, can't forget the 0.2%. There are massive amounts of federal contracts. And in the previous years, only 0.03% have gone to female companies. And the federal government has a goal of 5%. And it's just, we're not saying women have I'm not saying that women need to have a higher advantage than anybody else. Mm-hmm. Just why is the playing field for 50% of the population not as equal as it could be? What are those barriers and how do we address them?
And that's ultimately it, right? Are there barriers in place? Mm-hmm. And yes, can we break them down?
Right.
Yeah. I want to thank you for coming in today and congrats on this new position. It's great for Idaho. I've been talking with founder and CEO of Red Sky, Jessica Flynn, about her recent appointment to the National Women Business Council. Thanks again. Up next, honoring veterans through a very special program. I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters.